Hi, and welcome to the Nomad Sailing Podcast. A Nomad Sailing are a small family-run sailing school, the best, obviously, on the south coast of the UK. The team consisting of myself, Lou, the chief instructor, my brother, Jim, the school principal, and Joe, our ops manager, will be bringing you all things sailing and nautical over the coming weeks and months. So please subscribe and share and get in touch if you have a topic you'd like us to cover. And contact us at www.nomadsailing.co.uk. And please enjoy.
All right, welcome to Nomad Sailing Podcast. And today I've got James with me again. And the reason I've got James with me again is because he is a coxswain for Gaffers, which is Gosport and Fareham Inshore Rescue Service. Correct.
It is indeed. Yep. Hello again.
Thank you very much for joining us again. So, Gaffers, how long has it been around?
So Gaffers has been around for 51 years. Last year it was our golden jubilee, not regular jubilees, but I think that's 50 years, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Golden jubilee. So 50 years. It was started by three teachers from Bayhouse School, which is a school just on Stokes Bay. And there was very sadly a drowning in Stokes Bay, and they decided that they wanted to set up a lifeboat. So they started off with a hand launched boat back in 1950, and it's grown from there.
That's really cool. I didn't realise it'd been around that long. So from there it's grown quite a bit, hasn't it? Because you've got some quite good vessels now, haven't you?
We have. So, I mean, I think it's probably firstly quite important to say we're an independent lifeboat. A lot of people seem to they're quite shocked actually when you tell them that. But a lot of people just think a lifeboat means the RNLI, but there's actually around 65 independent lifeboats around the UK, and a lot of them actually in the Solent. You know, we're independent. Ride Rescue's independent. Hamble Lifeboat is independent, and that means we have to raise our own money. So we're not part of the huge organisation that the RNLI is, but we do the same job. So we are tasked by the Coast Guard 24 hours a day by pager call out to rescue people who are in trouble at sea. But it just means that we have to raise our own funds, which can be quite difficult in a challenging year like COVID. But yes, you're right, Lou, we have got some incredible boats. We were very lucky a few years ago to have a big bequest from a local business person. They were called the Fullers, and our boat is named after Joan Dora Fuller. They bequested a huge sum of money, and we managed to buy the boat and the tractor, and our boat was £375,000. It's a big Delta jet rib, powered by two big Yanmar engines, 700 brake horsepower, and we are incredibly lucky to have got that money because it transformed us in a lot of ways.
That's amazing. So you've got that large one, and then you've got a smaller one, haven't you, in that you keep at Gosport?
Yeah, we keep it. The ILB, or the Inshore Lifeboat, is the smaller of the two vessels. It's a 4.5 metre rib that's on a VersaDock in Gosport Marina. And the reason we've got it there is because mostly that boat is used for rescues in Portsmouth Harbour, shallow water work, often near the mud. And because it's an outboard engine, we can trim it up, get it into the shallow water a lot easier. And the biggest reason for having it in the marina is it was a resilient thing. We launch our lifeboats at the station via a tractor, and I'm talking a big agricultural tractor, which wasn't really designed for the marine industry. And that can be sometimes a little bit unreliable. So if the tractor breaks down, we didn't have a lifeboat on service at all because we couldn't launch either. So we decided to move one to Gosport Marina so we could always be on service with one boat if the tractor went off.
Right. Okay. So you mentioned that you could be tasked 24/7. So it's solely manned by volunteers, isn't it, Gaffers?
Yeah, solely manned by volunteers. We've got about 80 operational crew now. It takes quite a while to train to be a crew member. We're talking a couple of years training. I'm a coxswain now, and I started in 2015, and I was signed off as a coxswain last year. But I've put in a huge amount of time and effort as a result. I mean, it's not normal. I mean, that's pretty. That's probably what they'd class fast track, Lou. 5 years, 5 years of training. Yeah, we've got eight operational members, all volunteers. And the Coast Guard task us at all hours of the day. I mean, there was two call outs yesterday, very serious ones. One was a sinking vessel in the entrance to Portsmouth Harbour, and one was a heart attack of a skipper on board a boat near Hamble. And we can be tasked to pretty much anything. And it does mean that the crew have to be trained for all eventualities. I mean, it sounds a little bit twee, but to say no two rescues are the same, but it's true. They're not. I mean, you well know, there's very hard to find two vessels the same in a marina. So, you know, when it comes to towing, when it comes to where that casualty may be and the different hazards you would find at that rescue, I mean, you're still learning now. So, yeah, it does. It's a very varied job we do, that's for sure.
Yeah. So you've got 80 operational. How many would be? I mean, how does the call thing work? Do you say, well, actually, I can be on call this time, or are you just all on call all the time?
So we're the coxswains are rotated because we can't go out without a coxswain of the lifeboat. So the coxswain's the guy that kind of calls the shots and drives the boat at gaffers. So we like to make sure that we've always got one available for the evening. So we rotate the coxswains between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. We do 1 week on and then a couple of weeks off. But when we're not on call as coxswain, we're on call as crew. So I'll still turn up to a shout, and whether that means being shore crew, helping to launch the boat, going on the boat as crew, or just simply being there to make the tea, we always get involved. The rest of the crew they can sign on and off the pager system as and when they want to. But we've got a sort of critical mass now of members. It means that we've got enough to launch the boat. We need a minimum of three crew, including the coxswain, to launch the boat. But then when you include the shore crew and the tractor driver and someone back at the station, we need roughly around 6-7 people to turn up for every shout. We average about 13 people turning up day or night.
That's amazing. If somebody wanted to get involved as a volunteer, how would they go about doing that?
So we're always looking for volunteers, and it doesn't just have to be people who want to get on board the boat. Actually, that's something that we seem to be awash with is people who want to be lifeboat crew, and there's a bit of a queue to be trained. As I said, it takes a couple of years to train people, and it's very, very intense, and they have to put in a lot of time and effort. But we need help across the station. I mean, fundraising is a very, very important thing. As I mentioned, we're an independent. We need as much funds as we can get, and that's an important thing people can help us with. But there's also the shore crew side of things. We have something called a bridge watchkeeper, which is someone who sits on the bridge at the station, mans the radios, logs all of the things that happen during a rescue, and helps coordinate it from back at the station. Well, that's a vital role, but one that not everybody fancies doing. But you learn a lot doing it, and you can play a big part in the rescue there. So it's from across the organisation we need help. So all they have to do is go on to gaffers.org.uk. There's a membership section on there. They can contact the secretary. They'll organise a meeting. They can have a tour of the station and get involved. You don't have to be able to be available 24 hours a day for pager call out. It's not a case of everybody has to do that. You can help in as little or as much as you like.
So it's not necessarily all on the boat. So you've spoken about training, and I know that you guys do quite a bit of training with us, Nomad Sailing. So we do your VHF, your first aid, but obviously there's a lot more. So what other sort of trainings are involved in somebody that did want to be operational on board?
So say they wanted to be operational on board the boat as crew, we expect them to hold a VHF certificate. They have to have an RYA first aid certificate. And then we do a lot of training in-house. We quite like our crews to have powerboat level two. It's not a prerequisite, but we like them to have it because it gives them that understanding of how a boat works, how a rib works, and the sort of absolute basics of being on a boat at sea. So that's often quite useful. If you've got it, it will certainly help. But the rest of the training we do in-house. I mean, there's this in gaffers, we sort of call it the gaffer's way. And there's a reason for that. It's because we're all trained in that same way. So we know the way that each other's thinking. So when it comes to setting up a tow or when it comes to doing some form of first aid, people know and can trust the crew member to replace them or do the same things they're doing. So that takes a little bit of time, but it sort of helps that if you haven't got too much experience in some respects, because we can teach you in that gaffer's way from the start and you can pick it up without having to have to forget bad habits sometimes.
Yeah, sure. How does the coordination with the Coast Guard work then?
So let's say you're on a boat and you're in trouble and you've called a PanPan or a Mayday. The Coast Guard obviously answers that on Channel 16 and will coordinate the assets that they need to deal with that situation. That could be anything from the Coast Guard rescue helicopter to Coast Guard rescue teams on the shore side to lifeboats. It's often done on as the crow flies distance. So the Coast Guard want the lifeboat to be, they want that problem solved as quickly as possible. On average, it takes us around 13 to 15 minutes to launch the boat. So that's from me being in bed asleep to getting down to the station, getting the boat out in my kit on the water and heading to that rescue. So that's 15 minutes on average that takes for the entire crew to muster there and get on the water. So the Coast Guard's constantly thinking about that. If there's a lifeboat out on the water during the weekends, which we often are doing training, quite often doing training with you guys, we're much more likely to be tasked because you can get to those rescues a little bit quicker. And that's really, at the end of the day, the Coast Guard wants these problems solved quickly. So the Coast Guard is our tasking authority. They will decide they need us. They'll hit a button on their system which pages the crew. And that first page goes out to everybody who's on our pager system. And it just turns up on our phones as a full stop. Or if you've got a pager, I don't have mine on because I prefer my phone, but if you've got a pager, the pager will turn up with an alert with just a full stop on it. And that basically means the Coast Guard's called us and we need to get down to the station. So our crews will start heading down and our lifeboat operations manager will call the Coast Guard and ask them what they need. And at that point, they'll tell the LOM what we're going to, where it is, and the LOM will send out a second page, and that second page gives us a little bit of information, normally says they want either the lifeboat or the ILB, and roughly where it is. So say, for example, lifeboat Portsmouth Harbour was yesterday's second page. So when we get down to the station, the on-call coxswain will make sure the boat's getting out, and then they'll pop upstairs and call the Coast Guard again. And it's at that point we get full tasking information. So they'll give us location of the vessel, what the problem is, any other sorts of information that might be important, if other assets are on the way, like the helicopter, for example. And so we need some bare bones. Oh, and that is my pager, so I'm going to have to go, Lou. That's not even set up. Goodbye.
Right, well, we'd like to thank James for that time. And we'll pick it up again when he gets back from the emergency, whatever that might be.
So, to be continued.
Oh, Campbellton Loch, I wish you were a whisky, Campbellton Loch, oh, hi. Campbellton Loch, I wish you were a whisky, I would drink you dry. Now, Campbellton Loch is a beautiful place, but the price of the whisky is grim. How nice it would be if the whisky was free and the loch was full up to the brim. Oh, Campbellton Loch, I wish you were a whisky, Campbellton Loch, oh, hi. Oh, Campbellton Loch, I wish you were a whisky, I would drink you dry. I'd buy a yacht with the money I've got and I'd anchor it out in the bay. If I wanted a nip, I'd go in for a dip, I'd be swimming by night and by day. Oh, Campbellton Loch, I wish you were a whisky, Campbellton Loch, oh, hi. Oh, Campbellton Loch, I wish you were a whisky, I would drink you dry.